Pastoral counseling, the defense mechanism of DARVO. DARVO stands for deny, attack, reverse victim and offender. It's a defense mechanism used by individuals, often in response to being confronted with their wrongdoing. The strategy involves denying the accusations, attacking the accuser, and reversing the roles, portraying the offender as a victim. A 2017 study that when victims are DARVO'd, it is more likely they'll blame themselves, which in turn leads to self-silencing. Here are examples of each stage. Deny. Example, a congregant is accused of spreading false rumors about another member. Instead of acknowledging the behavior, they adamantly deny any involvement, insisting they would never engage in such actions. Attack. Example, when confronted about financial mismanagement, a person responds by attacking the accuser's credibility or character. They might say, "You're always looking for faults in others. You have no idea how hard it is to manage finances." Reverse victim and offender. Example, a congregant is confronted about consistently being late for volunteer commitments. Instead of taking responsibility, they reverse the role, stating, "I'm always there for everyone. Now you're making me the bad guy for being a few minutes late." So they're saying, "I'm the victim here." Recognizing these patterns can help navigate conversations with empathy and understanding, fostering a more constructive dialogue for resolution and personal growth. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Responding with gentleness and understanding can diffuse tension and lead to a more constructive resolution. It encourages pastors to choose their words carefully, promoting a peaceful and positive atmosphere in the process of addressing conflicts. It's Jesus who said, "By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." Dealing with DARVO in pastoral counseling requires a thoughtful and empathetic approach. Here's a tutorial for pastors to counteract this defense mechanism when a congregant is using it. Now, in a future tutorial, we're going to talk about when you're accused as a leader. This applies because if a leader has been accused, I want you to think of DARVO, if the leader is using DARVO as the defense mechanism and how that could harm the congregation. So we do have a talk that will come up that I've already written that talks about how to respond to accusations instead of using DARVO and defense mechanism. And when we're accused in our flesh, it's natural to feel defensive. And there's a way to communicate. And so, as the leader, you're helping the person. It doesn't mean that they're guilty, but you're helping them through these steps to get to a place where they can admit it and correct it. Because that's what we want. We want to solve the problem and move on. We want to be solution focused. And we don't want to label the person as bad. We want to talk about the behavior and separate the behavior from the person. However, we do need to address it because as social norms are created, people look to other people for social norms. Is that okay to do here? Really? Is that okay to say here? Oh, no, that's why you need to address these things. And so when the person becomes naturally defensive, then this is how to handle it. Just know that it's a defense mechanism that someone, maybe with not such a sensitive conscience to the Holy Spirit or such motivation to live holy, may have, that they really may know what they're doing. So you have different degrees, and you just follow this. Create a safe space. Begin the conversation in a safe and non-confrontational environment. Ensure the congregant feels comfortable expressing their thoughts and emotions without fear of judgment. Active listening. Practice active listening to understand the congregant's perspective fully. Allow them to share their feelings and concerns without interruption, demonstrating genuine interest in their experience. Validate emotions. Acknowledge the congregant's emotions and let them know their feelings are valid. This validation helps build trust and creates a foundation for open communication. Feelings are just feelings. So we say, okay, I hear you say this is how you feel. And that person feels heard and that fosters connection. Clarify the issue. Clearly articulate the specific concern or wrongdoing that needs addressing. Be specific about behaviors or actions without using accusatory language. Express concern and not blame. Frame your concerns in a way that emphasizes care and compassion. Use I statements to express your feelings and concerns rather than placing blame on the congregant. Address denial. If the congregant denies any wrongdoing, gently present evidence or examples supporting your concern. Encourage self-reflection without being confrontational, fostering an environment for personal growth. The easier it is for someone to admit it and move past it, you know that you have fostered connection and psychological safety. And it's not necessarily always a reflection that there is no psychological safety if the person continues to be combative. It may be more about their spiritual state. So it's good to have several people involved in this conversation to have the different accountability and perspective with leadership who's guiding this approach. Redirect attacks. If the congregant resorts to attacking or blaming others, guide the conversation back to the original concern. Emphasize the importance of focusing on the specific issue at hand rather than engaging in personal attacks. Empathy and understanding. Reinforce empathy by expressing understanding of the congregant's perspective, even if you don't agree. This helps to maintain a connection and facilitates a more constructive dialogue. Explore reversal. If the congregant attempts to reverse victim and offender roles, gently redirect the conversation to the actual events or behaviors that led to the concern. Encourage responsibility without creating a defensive atmosphere. Offer support and solutions. Collaboratively explore solutions and ways to address the issue together. Reinforce the pastoral role as a guide and supporter in the congregant's journey towards personal and spiritual growth. So we want to look at the bigger picture that putting this under our belt, that we were able to be responsible and move past this. It's helping us with the big picture, with our connection with the congregation and God, and with our calling. Remember, addressing Darvo requires patience, empathy, and a commitment to fostering a healthy dialogue for resolution and personal development within the congregation. And if the person is trying to make it about you, you're gently redirecting because it isn't about you. And if there is something personal going on, that's when you seek someone that's not involved with the conflict to join in. That they're not going to take sides. And you may want to even hire a mediator if the conflict is between you and that person, because you're not in the position to provide pastoral counseling and care at that point. You need that objective person involved. But most of the time, you're the one in the lead. It has to do with other things happening. And you're able to follow this model and recognize. As human beings, we have defense mechanisms when we feel insecure and attacked, and it's not always purposeful. But this has been developed. It was specifically, it's taught when people are coaching and counseling narcissists. And we've talked about narcissism. And so it is a very solidified model used by experts in the field with people who are diagnosed with narcissism and narcissistic personality disorder. So it's really ingrained in their personality. And we understand that when a person puts themselves above God, that's narcissism. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a personality disorder. What I'm saying is DARVO is used in those clinical interventions. So it's very effective if you have someone. You might say, I'm not too sure. I think they're doing this on purpose. I think they know what they're doing. Then it's going to flow really well for you just to follow the model. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the insight shared today. Help us to implement it. Help us to practice and build these skills. And we trust you for the guidance. And we thank you for the insights that you give us. That we have the inside information, we have the Word of God, and that with these tools is just power. Power to help people, power to help people know you, and people to share you, and people to grow in you. And we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.